Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
Today our scripture reading is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, which say, "And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" The question is, do you believe that when you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, that you will never die? What that means is, you'll never die spiritually. Yes, until the Lord comes, we will all have a physical death, but we won't have a spiritual death. The Bible tells us that we will be absent from the body and face to face with our Lord. It tells us in Psalm 23 that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The Lord Jesus will be there at our death, and he will usher us into eternity. And so at the moment of death, we transfer from this life to the next, and we come immediately into God's presence, and we're with him throughout eternity, because he promised in the scriptures never to leave us or forsake us. What a great promises that we have for the children of God. So the question is, what do you believe?
This is Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go. For Mission Moments this broadcast, I would like to share a report from some of our missionaries in Guatemala and Sierra Leone so that you can get a glimpse of their lives. Christians in Guatemala face a variety of challenges, including discrimination and harassment, We have several Mission Go missionaries serving in a wide range of ministries, church planting, serving in clinics and orphanages, care for the disabled, and ongoing discipleship. It has been reported that local authorities are impeding the progress, including building permits and registration requirements, as some locals seek to slow the progress of Christian workers from the outside. New requirements that state you must register with the Ministry of Interior to obtain tax-exempt status or enter contracts, but only Christ followers need to register. In a recent report from one of our couples in Guatemala, they report hiking to remote areas doing parental clinics and nutritional counseling. They also travel into the mountains to visit patients and families who are living in extreme poverty, sharing the gospel of Christ everywhere they go, building relationships where there are entire families that live in a shack made of scrap wood and plastic, sleeping on the ground. Some people never have slept on a real mattress. Several families' needs have been met by bringing them groceries. Regularly, one family had been in desperate need, and a bedroom was built for a disabled woman and extra care for her. This disabled sister lives with her brother and his family. It was clear she needed her own room. They had made a place for her, which was a plastic tent held up with wooden poles. Her brother supports his wife's four children and mother and sister. He has made a few dollars a day chopping wood. To help the family, a power saw was provided to increase his productivity for his work, thus increasing family income. In the past, he makes do with his sharp machete. Until this help came, he couldn't save money. When every penny went towards keeping his family fed, Mission Go has missionaries throughout the country seeking to change the vicious cycle of poverty. We pray that you will continue with prayers for our ministry as we seek to support these missionaries in these remote places and ask God to protect them and bring the resources they need to continue to work in this country. Heather, a nurse from West Africa, recently wrote that she's now able to pick up her new Land Cruiser vehicle. She is so thankful that someone she's never met from Western Canada has blessed her and her husband with reliable transportation. Thank you for listening to this week's Moments from the Mission Field. In closing, we thank you from our heart, as it is not possible without you, our prayer partners and supporters, and we do appreciate you. We wish you could all be here with us. For now, we want you to know we carry you in our heart. This month, we are offering a small book by Harvest Pocketbooks, written by Amir Sarfati. It is titled, Jesus is Coming, Any Day Now. Amir Sarfati is a native Israeli and former major in the Israel Defense Forces. He is the founder and president of the Behold Israel, a nonprofit ministry that provides Bible teaching through tours, conferences, and social media. It also provides unique access to news and information about Israel from a biblical and prophetic standpoint. Amir is married and has four children and resides in northern Israel. Any Day Now is an excerpt from Amir Sarfati's book, The Day Approaching. As you read, you'll learn about the plans God has for the world, Israel, and the church. Signs around us, all pointing to Christ's imminent return, and the Holy Spirit is doing incredible work in the world right now, wonders that await every Christian in Jesus' kingdom. To receive your copy of this book, write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 12110, St. Catharines, Ontario, L20477, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour, where we wish to bless your life with these messages. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners.
Until till the moment you rescued me and your love filled me. My soul sings, now my soul sings. What blessed assurance
Today's message is from the Reverend George Francisco. Printed copies are available upon request.
Today I would like to talk with you about spiritual possessions of believers. We want to look at the book of Romans chapter 5 verses 1 to 9. Now we're not thinking about the earthly physical possession of Christians, for they can vary. But we are thinking of spiritual blessings, which many believers will share equally. The Apostle Paul mentions two special spiritual blessings in this chapter, and we want to talk about those. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and then 6 to 9. Let me read these verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There are many great thoughts in this passage, but we want to look at the two that Paul mentions. First, being justified by faith. The word being is in the present tense and indicates that believers have it or possess it. So justification, then, is the first spiritual blessing we need to look at. Paul says it comes by faith and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Again in verse 9, Paul says, much more then, being now justified by Christ's blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. This blessing of justification, which all believers possess, comes at a great price, the blood of Jesus Christ. It took the cross with all those sufferings to provide it. Justification is something that God alone can do. Galatians 3 and 8 says, seeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, so it is God who justifies man. Alban Douglas, a Bible student and a scholar, says of justification this, quote, Justification is the judicial act of God whereby those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are declared righteous in his eyes and free from guilt and punishment. Unquote. So we see, because Christ died on the cross, that God, as judge of the universe, is able to declare all those who accept Christ by faith to be righteous and free of guilt and punishment. What a tremendous spiritual blessing. The sinner is not just pardoned. That would be very special, for a pardon means the guilty one does not have to face punishment. But he would still bear the guilt and face certain restrictions. But justification makes us righteous in God's eyes, for the believer is placed by faith in Christ, not only forgiven, but declared to be as righteous as Christ is. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And then, with Christ's righteousness, we can come into the very family of God. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Someone has explained justification at this way. It means just as if I had never sinned. Because Christ's death on the cross, God places our sin on him and then gives us his righteousness. Now that's certainly very special and very worth having. Someone may ask, how can the blessing of justification be received? Well, Paul talks in chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore," and this refers back to the chapter preceding it. Bible school students learned in class a saying something like this: when you see a therefore, ask wherefore is the therefore therefore. If we look back at chapter 4 of Romans, we see three things. First, Abraham, Paul says, was not justified by works. Verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So we see then, Abraham could not be justified in God's eyes by any good works. He was justified because he believed, he trusted God, and his faith was accepted by God. We too can never receive justification by our good works. Going to church or joining a church or being a good neighbor all may be good, but they will never achieve for us God's justification. Titus 3 and 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." We are washed and renewed when we personally receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, not by any works of our own. Then secondly, Paul says in chapter 4, verse 9, that circumcision, which was an ordinance followed so carefully by the Jews, had nothing to do with Abraham's justification either. For he believed God first, and then received circumcision as a seal. Just so we can never be justified in God's eyes by any ordinances of the church or otherwise. Baptism, communion, church membership, or whatever, can never bring us the blessings of justification, any more than circumcision did for Abraham. If we're hoping or trusting in our church ordinances, God wants us to know that that is not the way justification comes. Thirdly, Paul says, chapter 4, verse 13, "For the promise that Abraham should be heir to the world was not made to him or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." So Paul says even God's law, given by Moses, did not give Abraham justification, for he lived before the law was given. So in Romans chapter 4, Paul has said, justification does not come by works, or by ordinances, or by the law, all which the Jews followed rigorously. Then in verse 1 of chapter 5, Paul says, "Therefore, since justification does not come in any of these other ways, it does come by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Justification is a gift from God when we open our hearts and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then Paul says there is a special result for justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. This is the second thing that believers possess from this passage. Many of us have heard from historical sources the great joy that followed the declaration of peace following World War I. Some of us can recall something of the relief and then the wild and joyous outbursts of people following the declaration of peace at the end of the Second World War. What happiness there was, what cheering, what laughter, as people weary of warfare and death learned of a peace settlement. The Apostle Paul says that the result of justification is an eternal peace treaty declared by God between him and forgiven sinners. Through the first man, Adam, sin came into the world, and the face of God had to turn against all mankind, for all have sinned, Romans says. Then Psalm 7:11 says, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 34:16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Psalm 145:20, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So we see from Scripture then there is a clear enmity between a holy God and sinful man. But God planned a way of peace. He sent his own Son Jesus into the world to die for man's sin. Christ paid in full man's debt, and now God offers peace to all who will repent and turn to Christ in faith. When we receive Christ by faith, the war is over. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ was born, angels promised peace, for they said, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." When Christ died, peace was secured by that great sacrifice on the cross. And peace is now available for all who will come to Christ and receive it. Someone has written these gracious words, "Peace on earth with a world at war? What were the angels singing for that faraway night when the star shone down with a glorious light on Bethlehem's town?" Peace on earth? They were singing of him who was born that night to redeem from sin, who still has the power to cleanse and to heal the contrite heart that is willing to kneel. Peace on earth amid sorrow and loss, yes, peace indeed at the foot of the cross. Peace in a world that is troubled and torn, peace in each heart where the Savior is born. Peace on earth while the nations rage and history is making its darkest page. Yes, peace on earth, for its steadfast light is burning in thousands of hearts tonight. Thank God for the peace that believers receive. The great question we face is, have you accepted God's peace plan? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus and received peace with God? If not, will you do so even now? Scholars tell us that when Paul says we have peace with God, the Greek word he used for with is pros, which means facing. So he is saying the justified sinner has peace facing God. He can look upon the face of God with confidence, without fear, for God has become his Father and God's face is friendly. However, not all men will experience this, as Scripture says God's face is against them that do evil. What a terrible thing it will be to face a holy God of wrath. The book of Revelation describes some great events of the great tribulation that will soon come to pass on this earth. In Revelation 6 and verse 12, it speaks about rebellious and wicked men and says, "Lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell, and the kings of the earth, and the great man, and the rich man, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. What a fearful day is ahead for the unrepentant and Christ-rejecting men. How much better it would be to bow now to the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ, to find forgiveness of sin, and then to possess peace facing God. To receive Jesus Christ is to be received and welcomed by a loving God and saved from coming wrath through him. Won't you turn today to the Savior while there is still time? Won't you open your heart and receive this wonderful gift of justification, just as if I'd never sinned, and peace facing God? What a wonderful blessing these things are. I trust that you, even now, while our closing hymn is being sung, will open your heart and receive these great gifts of God. May God bless you as you do so.
We at Mission Go pray this message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us think on these verses from the Bible, from the book of Matthew 11:28-29. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." Remember to order your copy of the booklet titled "God Jesus is Coming Any Day Now," written by Amir Sarfati. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. Questions about this broadcast? Write to Tammy Campbell, Canada's National Bible Hour, member of MGO Broadcast Network. Visit www.missiongo.org or email us at tjcampbellmissiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.
If you, your friends from church, or family members are interested in more information about short-term or career ministry opportunities, or seeking someone to come to your church, or a group to speak about international missions, please call 866-483-5787 in Canada or 888-900-5048 in the United States, or on the web visit www.missiongo.org, so we can share more information.